This chapter is mighty. We will cover just a portion of it tonight. This is the vision of the Lord that God gave to Isaiah, and he gives an account of the vision and of his commission. We'll give you the division of the chapter, and then we'll look into the chapter. Verses 1 through 4 is the Lord's throne, and what a throne. Verses 5 through 8 is Isaiah's woe and his commission, and then verses 9 through 13 is his message. Now, I want to say right now, we never know when the Lord will lead any of us to teach the Word. We don't know it until maybe down the road a ways. But it's wonderful to, and I remember I used to take shorthand when Sister Bodie gave the Word out, and when we put our Samuel notes together, I had her shorthand notes from when she gave out those lessons. And so when we take notes, God's going to use them down the road a ways. We never know what some of you may be up here giving out the Word one of these days too. So it's good to take these notes that the Holy Spirit has given to us. 5 through 8 is Isaiah's woe and his commission, and then verses 9 through 13 is his message. The sixth chapter of Isaiah corresponds with Joshua. And if you recall, Joshua is a type of Christ who led the children of Israel in type as a new creation. They were, because Joshua speaks of Christ in resurrection. And he led them victoriously into the land of Canaan. He was a wonderful man of God. And in chapter 5, God gave Joshua a vision of Jesus Christ. He stood there with him. Let's go over and read that, because I like this. They were just getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. In Joshua 5 and the 13th verse, Judges, it's so help to find Joshua. Joshua 5:13. Okay, I want to read the 12th verse of this chapter 5. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They were going to get something more wonderful than manna. Manna was wonderful, and it's what God gave them in the wilderness. There's 8 descriptions of manna, and it speaks of Christ. So, but it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. This is Jehovah's Sabaoth, or to Sabaoth. The Hebrew starts with a T. T-Z-E. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. He knew him, didn't he? And said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy foot from off thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. It was holy because God was there. And Joshua did so. And God's here. And this place tonight, we know he's in our midst. So this chapter corresponds with the book of Joshua. And also in this chapter, we see Isaiah, of course, and he represents the remnant of Israel at the end of the tribulation, with the judgments all passed. And this is when the remnant will view Jesus Christ, of which this vision is shadow of them viewing Jesus Christ. Let's just read the first 4 verses, because that's all the further we're going tonight. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one having 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now that could be any one of us. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. There's that Jehovah to Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's trust the Lord that the post of our door moves tonight as he speaks to us through the word. We've got a lot of little posts in our within ourselves that need to be moved by the word of God, because none of us are there yet. Notice this was in the first year, or in the year that Uzziah died. And if you'll recall, in chapter 1 of this book, there were four kings. We'll just read, and Uzziah was the first. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, there's another book in which these four kings were reigned, and a prophet wrote, and that's in the book of Hosea. The same four kings, Daniel, then Hosea. So these two men gave out the word at the same time. The first verse, the first chapter, and the first verse. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Praise the Lord. So these two men were contemporaries. They spoke at the same time as these kings ruled. Uzziah's name means my strength is Jehovah. And he's also called Azariah. And I will go to turn over there in a minute to where in the Chronicles. But Azariah means helped of Jehovah. Now let's go over to 2 Chronicles, and I want to read about this man. 2 Chronicles 26. This was the first thing the Lord led me to when I began studying this chapter, was to read of this man's life. 2 Chronicles 26, in the first verse. He did pretty well for quite a long time. Okay, 2 Chronicles 26, in the first verse. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers, that is, his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecholiah, and her name means the prevailing of Jehovah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Amaziah's name means strength of Jehovah. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now this isn't the Zechariah who wrote the book of Zechariah. This was another man of God in earlier days. But this man had understanding in the visions of God. And the margin reads some, but I don't have my other glasses, so I can't tell you. But he had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, that is, made Uzziah to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath, and then it tells of all the things that he did. Now, and I'm not going to read it all, but the 15th verse, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Notice that. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Who does this make you think of? There was another man. Remember Nebuchadnezzar. Remember he walked out in the garden and he said, all these kingdoms are mine. What happened to him? God put him out in the field and he was like an animal for 7 years. Well, let's see here what happens to this man. His heart was lifted up to his own destruction. That margin there, I can read that, so that he did corruptly. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Azariah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Azariah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Azariah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. I want to bring in here about this leprosy in the forehead. We covered this when we were studying Leviticus, and this is the worst kind of leprosy. It's in Leviticus 13:42. It speaks of the mind that is lifted up with pride. It doesn't want to bring that mind into captivity to the things of God. And this is what Azariah didn't want to do. He thought he could do this also, but he found out he couldn't. And Azariah, this is his other, the chief priest, and his name means helped of Jehovah, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. Notice that's mentioned twice. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Azariah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, or a lazar house, it was called, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. For Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the king. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. So this is the time in Azariah's last year of reigning that God gave this vision to Isaiah. In the year here literally means it's an epoch-making beginning. It's a new time period. And this is what we have in the type, because this year that began when Isaiah began to prophesy was a jubilee year. What's the jubilee? It's the 1,000 years reign of Christ. So this is a type of this, Isaiah as a type of the remnant, as we are going to read further in this chapter, are going to have their eyes opened, and they're going to see the Lord. So this is a jubilee year here, and Isaiah is given a vision here of the glory of the Lord in contrast to the shame that this nation Israel is going to enter into. Because God is going to give them up at this time because of the hardness of their heart. And he'll tell us this in the latter part of this chapter. And the enemy comes into the nation Israel, and all that land becomes desolate. So Azariah died a leper, and the natural glory died out too. And Israel's never recovered to this day. The nation Israel is still a leprous in their condition. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Also, shortly after Uzziah's death, Rome was founded. Now, this is wonderful in type. And they became the power that devastated Jerusalem and the power that scattered the Jews. So, see, we have some wonderful types in all of this. Praise the Lord. All right, let's notice now. Uzziah died, and Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. Just that. This Lord, the name is Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I, and it speaks more of his relationships through which he works his purposes than of his nature. And I don't know how many years ago it was, Vina, we studied all the names of Jehovah. Well, I got out my notes, and I'm going to give you some thoughts on Adonai. This is a wonderful, wonderful name of not only God Jehovah, but it's a wonderful name because of Jesus. Because everything that God is, Jesus is. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead. So what God is, Jesus became when he became flesh. Praise the Lord. All right. The name Adonai in relation to man first is as a master to his slave or a servant. Then secondly, he is that of a husband to his wife. Now this is good with this chapter because that's what these seraphim are. They're the full overcomers, and we'll get into that. But both of these relationships express a personal relationship which involves rights of lordship and possession. He is our master. He is our Lord. So let's look just briefly at the slave or the servant relationship, which involves rights of lordship and possession. We're his possession, aren't we? Adonai was the owner of Abraham. He revealed to him how he would fulfill his promises to him, to give him an heir and make of him a great nation. That says in Genesis 15. I'm not going to go into all of this. In chapter 18 of Genesis, and the third and fifth verses, Abraham calls himself a servant, or in the Hebrew, it's a slave, and he relies on the Lord's faithfulness and power for everything that God said he was going to do. He relies upon him. That we as the church today, God's people, have been bought with a price. And the Greek word for church means belonging to the Lord. It means called out ones, but it also means belonging to the Lord. We are part of his household, and we learn to do according to his will and not our own will. And I thank the Lord for this desire the Lord has put in the hearts of the dear saints here. I'm going to read Psalms 12:4 along with this. Psalms 12 and the fourth verse. We'd love to get all these studies and the names of Jehovah together. I have them in here, but they were quite a study. Psalms 12 and the fourth verse. Let's read the third. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Now this is what the proud do. Who is Lord over us? No, they don't want anybody to be Lord over them. The wicked especially. And this is how the world feels. All right? Here in Isaiah, this earthly Lord, Uzziah, died and is taken away. But Isaiah's eyes are opened to a Lord that's high and lifted up. So what could Isaiah say after he saw this Lord? Woe is unto me, I am undone. Here am I, Lord, descend me. That's all he could say. He knew him. And thank the Lord, he revealed him to us also. In the natural Jeremiah, this is still on Adonai, he was a timid man by nature, but he was made a prophet of the Lord in Jeremiah 1st chapter. Ezekiel was another man, and the name Adonai God is used more than 200 times in the book of Ezekiel, over 200 times. You know, these are wonderful things to know. All right, the other relationship, there's more here, but I'm not going to go into all of this. The other relationship that this name reveals is husband. And this is the closest and most enduring communion with himself, that he is our husband. He is our Adonai. Paul said that he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You have the same spirit he has. You have the same willingness as he has. In Psalms 45, and this is a psalm we refer to so much because it is regarding the bride, in verses 10 and 11, these words are spoken to us. And our language cannot express the unutterable preciousness of such a relationship and the blessings he has promised. We can't express them. They are so wonderful to us, that this relationship that we have with the Lord. But in verses 10 and 11, hearken, O daughter, this is a call to the bride, to bridehood, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people. This speaks of the rest of the body of Christ. Forget them. Forget them. Go on. Get your eyes on the Lord. That's what Rebecca did. She left her father's house and she went with Eliezer. She never once turned around to go back, did she? She went all the way with Eliezer. So forget thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. There's that name. And worship thou him. We are espoused to Christ. We're betrothed. And this word betrothed means fitted together. We are bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. Wonderful relationship that we have with the Lord in spirit. And it's a spiritual relationship. There is nothing natural about this. So we have to get our eyes on the spiritual. It's wonderful to be a servant of the Lord, but it is as nothing to the joy of knowing the relationship of husband. We may do good work as servants if we are obedient to Adonai, but to produce and bring forth the new man, which is his image, what has there to be? A union. There has to be a union. There must be a perfect surrender and a union with Adonai as our husband. That's the way spiritual fruit is brought forth. When we are joined together with him in harmony, in one spirit, willing to surrender everything that's within us to this master, to this bridegroom. And if we don't, we're barren spiritually, because it takes a union to bring forth fruit. Praise the Lord. Yes, this is Adonai. Yes, for he is thy Lord. He is thy husband. Praise the Lord. A wonderful union we have with the Lord. And it's not in the future. This has to be now, or it won't be in the future. We have to be willing to obey this word, to listen to this word, to give everything, lay every weight aside, as Paul says in Hebrews, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. This sin is unbelief. And whoever we are, we still have a little bit of unbelief because we're not perfect. So the Lord wants us to lay aside every sin and these weights that so easily beset us. Praise the Lord. All right. So he saw the Lord. He was in spirit. This is John in the book of Revelation, was in spirit. And he saw Adonai sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Now, how do we know that this is Jesus Christ? Let's go to John, the 12th chapter. Oh, glory to God. See, he's there now. 12:41. John 12:41. I want to read from verse 35. It tells them that the Son of Man must be lifted up, and they ask, who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And it did come upon them. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. This was these not only the leaders, but there are many in Israel. And this was fulfilled, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. And this will be down in the further in the chapter we have tonight. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. God wanted to, but they turned their backs upon him. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to obey him. And this is the only recourse that he had. These things said Isaiah. Now notice, when he saw his glory, and he spake of him. Isaiah saw Jesus Christ high and lifted up on his throne. Now he's in the future in spirit. He's at the end of the 7 years at this time in this vision. This is where he sees Jesus. And we've got some good things. Praise the Lord. Some more good things. Ezekiel also saw this man. We'll be going to Ezekiel several times tonight. In the first chapter. Oh, let this word just soak in. Let it take a hold of our hearts tonight. Ezekiel 1:26. And we'll be coming back to this chapter. And above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And who was that? Jesus Christ. And I saw as a color of amber, as appearance, a fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And the second chapter tells what he said. Wonderful book, Ezekiel. Well, Isaiah saw the same one, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The train is symbolic here of all the people that will be with the Lord. And then in the second verse, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and so forth, and he did fly. Now notice that each had six wings. The seraphim means burning ones. Let's go to Revelation, the fourth chapter. This is where we're going to be, and it's where I want to find out as much as I can about what it's going to be like when we get there. Revelation 4, and I'm going to start with the fourth verse. Is this when heaven opens and Jesus is crowned, and the full overcomers are seated right along with him? And round about the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting. This is the full overcomers, the bridal company. They were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. John was also transported. This is at the beginning of the 7 years, whereas Isaiah's is at the end. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the sevenfold spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four living ones, full of eyes, before and behind. They had discernment. They were like Christ himself. And the first living one was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like a face as a face of a man, fourth a flying eagle. These all represent different aspects of Jesus Christ as we see him in the four Gospels. And the four living ones had each of them, what? Six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. There's so much here. Lord God Almighty, this is Jehovah Elohim Shaddai, and suggests that God is getting ready to resume his relationship with Israel. That is the thought of Lord God Almighty, and he is getting ready to at the beginning of the 7 years. Praise the Lord. There's so much in all of this. So John saw these seraphims, and they rested not day and night here in Revelation 4, because they were getting ready to pour out, to open the seals and to pour out, or the Lamb was going to open the seals, and they were going to pour out the judgment. They could not rest day nor night because they were the ones who were going to pour these seals out. They were called into action. In other words, they couldn't rest because, as we said, they were going to be in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgments that he was going to pour out upon the world and using them to do it. I pray the Lord help me to give this out tonight. There's so much. These saints, these overcomers, are in agreement with the throne of God. Are we today in agreement with the throne of God? Can we say hallelujah, amen, to everything that God allows or brings in our lives? Judgment on the earth must begin before Jesus reigns over it. These living ones here in the fourth chapter of Revelation, they had to be the ones to pour out the judgment. They had six wings. We see them in heaven. Isaiah sees them in heaven. They're the living ones here in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Here we see them as the seraphim, the burning ones, because the judgment has already passed. And I thought about this burning ones. You know, isn't this what the Lord is doing within us today? He is burning out all of the dross, or we can't be in this company if we don't allow him to burn out all the dross. We have to have a willingness to let him burn out the dross. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Ezekiel, and we see them again. Ezekiel, the first chapter. But here, they are the cherubim, or the living ones. They're the same as we see in Revelation, only these have four wings. I believe I'll just read down here in from the fourth verse of Ezekiel 1. This is one of the most magnificent chapters in the Word of God. I love this first chapter of Ezekiel. Again, Ezekiel, he was transported in spirit, and he saw visions of God. And I looked in the fourth verse, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. This was a Shekinah glory. And a fire flashing continually in the margin. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. This is bronze, or a glowing metal, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This is the same company. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. These are seen on earth. They're not in heaven. These are earthly, on the earth, as we are now. We're still here. And we, too, can have the appearance of a man, and of an eagle, and of a, what's the other one? The four of them? The what? Lion, yes. And the ox. See, we each can have this appearance. These characteristics should be manifested within us as full overcomers. And their feet were straight feet. I like that. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. What does that speak to you about? Sacrifice. What do? We present our bodies a living sacrifice, just as Jesus did. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass, speaks of judgment. We judge ourselves. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. I love this. We're in harmony. We're joined together in spirit. We're joined together in the Lord. There is no division in the spiritual body. God, the Holy Spirit, joins us together. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. In other words, they had their eyes on the prize. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, face of a lion on the right side, they four had the face of an ox on the left, they four had the face of an eagle, heavenly one, and that's what we are. Thus were their faces. Does that show on our face? And their wings were stretched upward. I think of that holding up our hands, holy hands. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one, there we have those words again, straight forward. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. The Holy Spirit led them, and they went where He wanted them to go. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down. Now, this speaks of the energy of the Holy Spirit. It went up and down among the living creatures. The Holy Spirit is active within them, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. It's a wonderful description. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The wheel speaks of God's will. The appearance of the wheels and their work was likened to the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Remember that song we sing? Let's see the living creatures, hear their rustling wings. When they went up on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. They walked in the will of God. They walked in the Spirit. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up from the earth. See, when we're going to be lifted up from the earth in translation, the wheels are lifted up too, because that's the will of God. Whether we go through the undertaker or the uppertaker, Brother Copley used to say, whichever way we go, the wheels are going to go with us, because that's the will of God. Whatsoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. See, it's the Spirit. It's not the soul, it's the Spirit that is in harmony with Jesus Christ. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. It's in the will of God. Our Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is in those wheels. It wants the will of God in their lives. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, they did whatever wherever the wheels went. The wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was like the color of the terrible crystal or ice. And in Exodus, we read about this pavement, God's throne. It was like ice. Stretched forth over their heads above. And we could go on down. Well, let's read on down to the 25th. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on their sides, and every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. They were protected, in other words. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty. That's now. The voice of speech as the noise of an host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And I love this because they're listening here. for the voice of God. They're listening for instruction. They stand still and wait upon the Lord for instruction from Him. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And He began to talk to them. See, this is what He does with us now. I was thinking coming in tonight, how wonderful it is to be in the presence of the Holy God. Just to be there. Allow Him to just take possession of our mind, of our everything within us, to be in His presence. What is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What else do we desire? There's nothing to compare with it. All right, the first time the cherubims are seen is in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. These are wonderful. See, God, way back, this was all planned before the foundation of the world. And way back, God knew He was going to make cherubim and seraphim. In 324, this was after man sinned, and He put Adam and Eve out of the garden because they had sinned. And at verse 24 of chapter 3, so He drove out the man, and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And this is capitalized. These are living ones. They are part of Christ. They are the bridal company seen here in Genesis. And a flaming sword which turned every way to do what? To keep the way of the tree of life. They here are protectors of the word. They're in perfect accord with God's ways and will in the universe. And here they are witnessing to the holiness of God's house, of which this Garden of Eden was a figure. And they're also witnessing of God in putting sinners as Adam and Eve out of His presence. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. Remember when Jesus became sin, God turned His back. He couldn't look upon Him. And it is still that way. All right, the next time we see them is in the book of Exodus, in the 25th chapter. Remember when we studied the tabernacle? Where were they? On the mercy seat, and where? What part of the tabernacle? The Holy of Holies, where no one could enter but the high priest once a year. They were there. Exodus 25 and verse 17. See, they're here. And thou shalt make a mercy seat, in verse 17, of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work. They were of pure gold also. Shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Isn't this precious? See, we're pure gold in Christ. We have a divine nature within us that is incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It's divine. It's pure gold. But notice, they were made of beaten work. And that's what God does with us. Puts us through the trials. And He put the 19th verse, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends. The cherubims shall stretch their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. I love that. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I will give thee. And there I will meet with thee. That's where He meets with us. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And how we need His mercies. From between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. I think of that scripture in Lamentations 3, that His mercies are new every morning. And if it wasn't for His mercies, man would be consumed. Just think. So this is where we see them here on the mercy seat. Here they're witnessing to the righteousness of God in demanding atonement for sin. And they're showing His mercy in securing it. Once a year, that blood was brought. and it was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to Isaiah. These seraphim, their activity is partially obscured by the glory of this throne, and they're resting in a work that's already accomplished as Christ reigns supreme. The tribulation is over, and they're resting, as it were. Their wings are down to their sides, covered the face, covered the feet. In Revelation we read that they rested not day and night. Here they are in a resting position. So these seraphim and the cherubim, burning ones and living ones, are human beings. They can be any one of us. They're majestic, they're sublime, and they have an office and a place in the throne that is surpassed only by the Lamb himself. And they too are on the judgment, because they will be doing the judgment, pouring out these judgments. All right, now let's take a side trip. Let's go over to Ezekiel, 28th chapter. There was a man, or an angel, that wanted to be like God. Ezekiel 28 in verses 14 through 16. So, or we may read the 7. Now notice here what we're going to read. Tyrus in this chapter is symbolic of Satan. He's a figure of Satan. And he says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." God's talking to him. God set this cherub there. "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God," right up there with God. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created." God created this man, this angel, this Lucifer, he's called in Isaiah. "Till iniquity or unrighteousness was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee." There's his future in Revelation. "O covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." And Satan begins to tempt you. Read this to me. That's his future. Here we see him walking up and down. He was right in the throne room, but he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be like God. Let's go over to Isaiah 14. In reading this, as we have so often, we notice the "I will." Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," or Lucifer means shining one in the Hebrew, "son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations." This is what he has done. "For thy hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." He wanted to be above God. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Now, there's more to that, but I'm not going to read that. It tells of his future again. Iniquity was found in him, as we read in Ezekiel. He was abased. But in the garden, what did he do? He injected the same poison within man, exaltation. Remember there in Genesis 3, he tells Eve, "Ye shall be as gods." Let's read that. Now this is I hope you follow, because this is what Satan has put over on man, and they think they're gods. Notice in 3:5 of Genesis, he lied, "Ye shall not surely die," in the fourth verse. He says in the fifth verse, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And in my margin, it says God, not gods. In other words, you can be just as exalted as God himself, but it would be in the sinful state. And it's interesting, but this is what man is trying to do today, make man. And Satan thought here in Genesis that he had won. But God did a new thing. He brought upon the scene a God-man who destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And aren't we glad? And Satan cannot move. He's conquered. He's destroyed. And the place that Satan had there that we read in Isaiah and Ezekiel, the place that he had is given to who? It's given to these living creatures and these seraphim, the full overcome. Now that's why Satan is angry. Because redeemed man who has been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, has the opportunity to have the place that Satan once had. Only we will have a better place. We will reign with Jesus Christ. We'll be one with him. We won't be a Satan one, but we will be one with him. We'll be exalted. We are already. We've already been raised up together and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, once where Satan was once. See, he's cast down into the lower heavens. And that's why in Ephesians 6, when we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world rulers in high places, and that's in the heavenlies. So we have a battle, but by faith we're already up there clear above him. And it says in Ephesians that he hath put all things under his feet, and we're in him, so all things are under our feet. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Oh, thank the Lord. All right, let's go to this third verse. See how much we get out of these scriptures? All right, whole, and they cried one unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled full of his glory. This is, as we said, Jehovah to Sabaoth. There's no discordant note in glory. It's all full of the glory of the Lord. Psalms 29, the ninth verse, the latter part of it says, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory, or everything saith glory in the margin. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. What do we talk about? Do we talk about him? We used to have a thing over our telephone that says, talk Jesus. Because some of these people get on the phone and they talk about everything and everyone else but him. Notice the three holies. Holy, holy, holy. Now we read Revelation 4 in the 8th verse. Remember, there were three holies there? Well, this is Jesus' glory in which Isaiah looks. And the three holies tell us that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Colossians 2:9. In Christ dwelleth... We're feasting tonight. This is really eating of the word, feasting on the word. 72 and the 19th verse. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Won't that be a wonderful day? There won't be any sin, there won't be anything but the glory of the Lord. Wonderful. Let's go back to Numbers 14:21. All of this the Holy Spirit wrote. He saw ahead of what it was going to be like. Numbers 14:21. He says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I like that verse. Well, God lives and he's living forever. So all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now let's go to Habakkuk. And that little prophet that's sometimes hard to find. And two or three chapters. Habakkuk, he's right after Nahum. Right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk 2 and the 14th verse.
For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Won't that be a wonderful day?
Filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
What a day that's going to be.
His glory that stands for his character and his action, and all the fullness of God, and all that's manifested, is to receive this world. Everyone will receive him there, and they will acknowledge, and that's going to be a wonderful day when they do. Philippians says every knee is going to bow before him and every tongue confess. Every knee. Think of the millions that have lived from time to beginning of time. Many of them have never bowed their knee, but everyone that ever lived is going to bow their knee. Oh my, wonderful day it's going to be. All right, let's read this fourth verse in Isaiah 7. And the post of the Lord moved. The post. This is the margin. It's the foundations of the threshold. Moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The hymn here in the King James is a collective pronoun. Signifies them, the company of the seraphim. At the voice of them, the seraphim, as the Hebrew brings out, all the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of them that cried, and the house became full of smoke. The very foundations were swaying with the awesome glory of the Lord. And the smoke that resulted from the worship of these seraphim arose from this heavenly altar of incense. It arose. And they praised the Lord. And you know, praise is contagious. I thought of Sunday when the Lord just blessed so much, in a precious way here. And you know, Joanne, when they left, she said, I haven't been in a meeting like that in a long time, where the saints just praise the Lord like we do. That's why. Let's go to Revelation. She was at the Memorial Day meeting. She was with it. Revelation, 5th chapter. Notice what's going to happen when this bridal company begins to praise the Lord. Let's begin with the 11th verse. 5:11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round this company, round about the throne, and the living ones and the elders. Well, the angels will be there, the living ones and the elders. And they're not just this number, it's going to be. And notice, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's not just going to be the 4 living ones and 24 elders. It's going to be saints from the beginning of this church age, like Paul, like Timothy, like all those full overcomers back there at the beginning of this church age. Mm-hmm. Phoebe, who do we know all will be there? They'll be in this number. And they say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Seven. And we said praise is contagious. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What a day it's going to be. And the four living ones said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down, and they worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day that's going to be. When we're going to be there in his presence, and we fall down before this one whose glory is going to fill all the earth. It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be a marvelous day. We won't have this body. We'll have a body heavenly. could be incorruptible. It'll be burned out. All the dross will be gone. I look forward to this time. It's going to be marvelous. And Isaiah was so privileged to behold this in spirit, as John did, and to see this company of saints that had not been born yet, but God knew they were going to be, and see them with him, with Jesus Christ, there upon these thrones. What a day. Let's ask the Lord to just give us, a vision of where we're going to be, and help us to forget where we are. Don't allow the things of this earth to weigh us down, to keep us from winning him. Nothing, I don't care what it is, nothing in this world is worth it. No one is worth it of not winning Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll have the rest of this chapter later, because there's some wonderful things, some different steps in Isaiah's call, and it's marvelous. Praise the Lord. Anyone has any thoughts? Well, there will be seven. Well, there's seven. Seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. This one. Yes. We have them in our notes. That's there. I believe it speaks a ring, you know, speaks of eternity. Round and round and round. Right. Like eternity. I wish I could remember everything we've ever studied. But there. Do you have that book on Ezekiel? It'd be in there. I think there's one. Oh, this book is marvelous. I love this. This one, I love it all. I like that, where they put the spirit of the living creature within the wheels. The spirit is in us. Praise the Lord. And we go where the spirit tells us to go. Only there. Anyone else have it? Cherubim is a living one. Seraphim is a burning one. The seraphim were seen after the 7 years, at the end of the 7 years. They had, as it were, been used by God to bring judgment upon the earth. They'd been through the fire. And these full overcomers, as we read in Revelation, they have to have their paths girded up, even as Jesus. They have to be in harmony. There can be no sympathy with the wicked or with anyone that's left down here that's going to have God's judgments fall on them. Whoever it is, they have to be in harmony with God, with Jesus. He's just. And that's why today we have to do this. We have to go on today. Keep our eyes on him. Yield to the Lord, obey the word, listen to it. There's everything we need in this word to instruct us. And there's no reason for any individual to not win Christ. It's up to that individual. We can't do it for anybody else. It's an individual matter. And pray for those that aren't yielding to the Lord. That's all. The Shulamite, you know, when she began, she said, what was that? We will follow after you. Well, did they? They didn't follow. She went on by herself. But oh my, what a beautiful one she became. And that's the way with us. We go on. I know what it is. You think, well, you haven't been that road. Yes, I have. I've been down that road. And yes, but when we ever fall in love with him, he means more to us than anyone or anything in this world. Pray. So, isn't it wonderful to have an insight into these truths? Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, fill our vision. We're looking for it, aren't we? That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Well, I trust to be in that number. Oh, thank the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's how real it's going to be. If the wind's in the south, especially, it blows it that way. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's wonderful, Linda. Praise the Lord.